about that?
I don't know. No, it's
it's hard to think that way.
It's hard to think at least in this moment.
Yeah.
It's maybe rather afterwards when hearing that I know, like, ah, oh, shit, why didn't I tell it? Because, you know, my things are so clear to me. When someone else is hearing them, I kind of have to explain more explicitly, and this I often forget and...
Or just do inaccurately.
Yeah.
I often feel as soon as I begin to be explicit, then I am misrepresenting what it is.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to describe it, I want to demonstrate it or do it or present it or act like...
Mm.
I can't tell you, you just have to come and see my show. Well, when's the show? Well, when someone gives me half of it, like $50,000 or $100,000.
Well, but I think that it's when you're doing art in general, it's hard to think about it as a product that should sell. It might do, but if it might also be the biggest aim for it, but in general, for all art, that can't be the main... main driving force, because then it loses its possibilities, I would say. And I think here, you just have to be a rich-ass kid if you should manage. And I mean, it's anyhow like that all over in the world, that it's like middle-class people doing art. I mean, I think all of us are from a middle-class, have a middle-class background. So it's... It's already like that, and then there are other structures in Europe, but I don't know, I bet they will also close down soon. I'm not sure how long it will last. But what's interesting with the... it's a big education in Berlin at the moment, at Hamburger Bahnhof Museum on the Black Mountain College. You know about that? No? It was a college in Black Mountain, in California. That the main principle was mainly that there are no teacher, but we are teaching each other. So this non-hierarchical structure of like giving classes and learning from each other, and how like different practices were developed there. And it's interesting because I did a project at Bauhaus in Germany a year ago. So I got, and it was part of my education, so I got really like into the history of Bauhaus, and it all goes in one line. Like Bauhaus was very concerned with like looking at what is the theater, what is in the theater, so how is the room looking, what kind of materials are we working with, and so visual artists started to do dances. So one of them was Oskar Schlemmer, who did the scenography dance, where he did the scenographies and people were behind them, so you couldn't really see the human, but the scenographies were moving around in space. So it was the dance for the scenography, or the glass dance, where it was only glass things moving, or the stick dance, when he was placing sticks on the body. So what did that do to the body, to transform the body? So visual artists started to do dance, and dancers started to do musical paintings, and architects started to do, it was like this, you were starting to do other things than your actual,
medium
genre, or,
craft,
profession. So that, but also working it together somehow, so different practices were developed, and then the war broke out, and like the house just was dead.
Do you think, if starting at Bauhaus and going up to Judson, do you think you can go from Judson up to us?
No, I mean, I know that there are things going on, but it's hard to see them now, I would say.
Mm. And I wonder if it's ever a new group of people, or it's just that people move. Just people keep moving locations, they just keep relocating from Germany to California to New York to Belgium.
Exactly. I think, I mean, that's how it functions.
Yeah.
And even though I have an idea, suddenly I realized that, I mean, when I came up with this jump idea, that was it was part of a master project, like last year, so it was actually 2 years ago, or 1.5 years ago, that I wrote the concept. And I did the version, like, last summer. And I wrote the concept, and then I actually had a premiere, and suddenly I heard about, like, Jan Martens, who were doing a jump piece, and then I heard about Isabel Schad that were doing collective jumps, and it was suddenly, like, lots of pieces all relating to the same.
There's also that trampoline piece.
It's in there.
Yeah, it's in the air.
Yeah, exactly, but that's many years ago. Yeah, yeah.
I really liked that piece.
I haven't seen it, but I only saw a documentation of it.
Yeah, I saw the documentation.
So. Yeah.
But that's it did something for me.
Yeah.
But I think those things kind of happen, those kind of like zeitgeist moments where everyone is sort of like, because everyone's arrived from the same history, everyone's kind of maybe like having similar ideas at the same time without necessarily.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Directly influencing each other. Of course there is, but it's like coming up from this, from the back or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and I mean we are reading the same news.
Yeah.
We are kind of part of the same, I mean,
the same world.
Yeah, we live in the same world. I mean, even though you sometimes can feel that, okay, this work will never go through here because it's, I mean, a society that are busy with other things.
Yes.
That might of course happen, but within the contemporary field, like within colleagues, I think that we all are like, okay, now this is happening, but
yeah,
so what? I will anyhow do a jumping piece completely differently than Jan Martens and then Isabel Schad.
I think, yeah, it's not so important to be like original or something.
Yeah.
It's, no, it's.
I also wonder how something like the Belgian Wonder happened and how to see it happening as it's happening or before it's happening rather than only ever being able to be aware of these pockets of feverous, fervent bubbling of inspiration, only ever being able to see it 10 years later.
Well, isn't that your excitement radar that you're talking about before?
Hopefully.
Maybe like you go to a place and you're like, it's exciting here at the moment, I'm going to hang around. Or not,
and then I wonder, like, once you know, is that it? Is it done for that place and that spot and that time?
I think one can never really know. I think, or I'm not sure because it's seeking for that place or that movement will most certainly make you very disappointed.
And anxious.
Yeah, because you will never find it, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's like you can't really, because you put a lot of weight on something outside of you somehow. So I think it's, I mean, if you find something that seems intriguing to you, a place or a spot or something, then that's much more, I mean, you should be part of the movement as much as, like, that's the thing more than.
Yeah.
And I feel that people travel so much now. Like, maybe travel is more available now than it was.
Because all the artists are middle class that can afford air flights.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe.
Or we can afford living a cheap life because we are secured. I think it's more that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm also really resting pretty heavily on the fact that the country that I am a citizen of has free education and free healthcare.
Why are you resting on that? That's great.
Yeah, it just means that I don't worry about that. Like, I don't worry about my ability to pay for injuries or my ability to pay for my children to get educated one day or something. Because I'm just like, oh, my country will take care of that.
Yeah, but that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. It is great. I'm just aware of my privileged position.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but I think it's like, it's, of course, that's good. And that can like, why is it not like this all over the world?
Yeah.
And that also has its reason, right? So it's.
I do wonder why it's not like that all over the world. Why are people not. Why is it not understood that the more intelligent your population is, the better your country will be. And so the money goes into schooling and education.
Yeah, but I think it's, I mean, it's, the world has such a history of colonizing, right?
Yeah, the world does have a history.
And who has, like, the western part of the world has been, like, colonizing and taking the rich thing out of countries and being able to build up a society that is a welfare society. And and by doing so, also killing like rich cultural cultures that have been, has been going on, but that is not functioning within the economy that is the Western economy, because it it functions on completely other principles. So it's like using, I don't know, work craft and great sources of, is it quinoa or is it other spices or is it human people, in order to build up a society that can be called democratic, but it is on, but for what, if, or for what do you say, what kind of price are you paying?
Yes.
It's like, it's killing and it's slavery and it's taking mainly. So the welfare of Europe is it's has kind of a bloody story, history.
Yeah.
So that's like one thing, and then it's so it's not strange that it has been impossible to kind of develop. And then you're also looking at different countries as underdeveloped, because it's not in relation to a Western standard, but it's maybe in relation to some other standards. And why are they not valid? Because they are not producing a certain economy, or because it's not like asking for a certain welfare that might not be even of an interest. It's like, it's, I don't know, it's a very interesting podcast.
Yeah.
That is called Decolonizing Time, which is kind of also speaking about time in relation to that we are seeking for a certain time, like how we are looking at welfare, but maybe also like accepting another way of understanding how time of life is.
Yeah.
I don't know, could put another focus on what kind of society one actually wants to build up, or what values one wants to work for, something.
Yeah.
You know, when you're watching dance, it's not bad, but it's not good. But it's taking care of enough of your brain that you can actually just think about other stuff. I was having thoughts last night considering how many people live first person and how many people live third person, where they're just kind of back here watching themselves do all the things. There's also a setting when you do games, like computer games, where you're running around shooting things or stealing cars, mm-hmm. whatever. You can be first person, so you're just looking through the eyes and see your hands, mm-hmm. or you can be third person, mm-hmm. see the back of your own head. And I was always third person when I was playing card games. I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm.
I also prefer third person perspective on video games.
Yeah, right.
And easier to know what's going on.
Yeah. Perspective. What about you, Rosalind, when you're playing video games?
You know what, I have like barely been playing video games in my life. You maybe could guess that.
No.
No.
There's a book called Reality is Broken, and it talks about the basis of games and why humans play games and make up games.
Yeah.
And it doesn't talk specifically about video games, but it just talks about what we all get from playing games.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's something about the fact that humans really love to work, but we want to work at something that we know what the next step is, or like we're clear about it, and that it is our decision to do it for the fun of knowing what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as we have to do it for economy, or as soon as we're like, can't get feedback about whether we're doing the right thing or going in the right direction, then it's no longer fun, and those are games that people stop playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, games are very certain.
Somehow games are very certain, and I guess they're not unfair.
But they're also mysterious in a kind of way, because you unlock these levels where you don't know what's coming next, but you kind of do at the same time.
Like Tetris?
No, not necessarily.
Like Space Invaders.
Tetris. Like things like Grand Theft Auto or something.
Like what?
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, like you run around a city and you steal cars and Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Fun. I've never played that game.
Like Hugo or something, that one where you tell him, like it's an instruction based game, and he walks around it and it's like very blocky. And the quest is to get to the Fountain of Life or Fountain of Youth or something.
Yeah.
But he has to go through, like, you have to ask the witch doctor a specific thing for him to open the door to this other thing, and you have to, like, do specific things to get to the next level. But in all games with levels, there's a set, like even with Tetris, there's a level based.
I mean, Tetris is just about holding on, because you can't ever complete it. Like, even if you get no blocks left, you're not finished.
Yeah. Well, then even like racing games and stuff, how like you get to the next level and there's a new track.
A new car.
And you've built up a knowledge for the rules and the system, but there's still a mysterious element that keeps you intrigued.
Yeah. And I'm sure some people get to feel that fun about dance or about art industry discourse. Like, they've built up a knowledge of the rules, they're not quite sure about the next thing, but they know enough to launch into it with play. And some people feel that way about capital. They're like, okay, I know some of the rules, I know how to avoid these taxes, and I know how to rip these people off.
I got a couple of million,
and let's see if I can turn them into some more million.
Shit. I think I could get dropped into games.
Yeah.
I have just not been exposed to it.
Well, I wonder if constantly asking questions on things that you've already made decisions on is a game in itself.
Yeah. There's also the adrenaline that it gives you.
Yeah, there's like a hit of realization, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the adrenaline of like achievement or something. Or then as well on the other end of that, like if you die or something, it's the adrenaline of like
reaching,
knowing how to do better next time.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think having a thought that you've never had before is kind of like hearing a joke and getting the punchline. Because there's a pathway that happens in your brain, or the synapses are fired in a way that have not fired before, and that gives you a little hit as well. Like you're thinking about something that you never thought about before. Or even, you know those people where they're like, they watch a play, and you're sitting next to them in the play, and something happens and the person's like, and you're just sitting next to them as an audience member, you're like, there was a woman last night that was in the audience, and someone would do something and she'd go, just in response to the move that it just
happened. Sure, but people are engaged here, like going to the cinema.
Oh really? Yeah. What did you see at the cinema? Fast and Furious 7.
Straight Outta Compton.
Oh okay. same.
It's like I'm sitting in a mass of people that are like, oh no, why are you doing that? Like, oh no, it's like emotions. It's like going on. And it's like, people are laughing out loud, commenting on it, like being painfully disturbed by something. It's like, I got the rush of affection sitting in the cinema.
Right.
It was nice.
Is it that particular movie that allows that kind of thing?
No, I think, I went with a friend. The American Way, I think. Because I went with a friend and she had been seeing a couple of films and she said that this is
how This is how it is.
This is how it is.
Wow. It's amazing. Maybe we should go to the cinema.
I've only ever found that at a movie marathon,
yeah,
where you see four movies in a row, yeah, and by the third or fourth one, people are loosening up because, yeah, they're exhausted.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I feel like there is something to be said for the respect and consideration of being able to go through an experience without having to impose it through expression, yeah, onto the people, yeah, that you're
but
sharing space
with. This is the thing about New York as well, like this high density living, you're living with people all the time in close proximity. You have to learn how to be at ease even though there's people around you all the time.
Yeah,
because that's,
yeah,
how you would watch,
yeah,
a movie if you're watching a movie at home with a group of friends.
Yeah, yeah.
And so maybe it's this thing that like they can be comfortable enough,
mm,
in,
mm,
a crowd,
mm,
to just be like, let it,
mm,
all happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I,
yeah,
guess.
I think so too. I think it's and it's something that is relieving because it's. I mean, I can totally understand what you're saying, and this is like this is the culture and what we are growing up in, right?
Yes.
But and when there are singular persons doing it, I would think that they are crazy if I would be in Germany or in Stockholm. But here. For some reason, it's like people are taking their place, but it's not about disturbing me. It's not about expressing themselves. It is about their emotion, and they are taking space. It's a little bit the same of this kind of thing of like, I care for me, and you care for you. And if you have the possibility to pay $20, you pay $20. But I will not ask you an extra time. If you give it to me, I say thank you. And it's basta.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, so you're not really questioning the outcome of things. And so I'm not also questioning my own outcome of things. It's like, I do what I kind of need to do. So it becomes, I don't know if I told you that story, but I was in the subway and a huge black woman was like sitting there and I was sitting opposite to her and then we arrived at the station and I was like, okay guys, I'm leaving. And then she walked out and then like everyone around me like responded, have a good day, mom. Stay warm. And she was like, yeah, sure, it's hard to not stay warm in this weather. And like, everyone were having a comment on her. And then she left the train, and I was like, wow, that's great. I mean, if someone would do that in Stockholm, that would be like, are you insane? And no one would respond at all.
Yeah.
So it's also this kind of...
Do you think I can try it? Do you think I can get away with it?
You?
Yeah, if I got up and I was like, all right, everyone. It's been real.
But I think also that she kind of needed,
yeah,
the goodbye.
Yes.
That she had
the
needs. Yeah, exactly. It's not that she does it because she's like in particularly extra, like she need to express, but she's like, why not? I'm saying goodbye. We shared a ride, even though it might have been only one station. We shared a ride, and we are humans, and we are in New York, and it's today, and maybe I'm dead tomorrow. So goodbye.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
Yeah.
It's. I think it's nothing else than a necessity, so.
Yeah.
But you are allowing for another social necessity, and you are kind of,
yeah,
realizing that this is now,
yeah,
and we are here now, and I have no idea what will happen in a second. So I better care for myself and I care for you.
Yeah.
It's,
yeah.
I like
it's
it.
Quite nice.
Yeah.
And somehow, like, it's this situation where, yes, you do what you need and I care for myself and,
yeah,
you care for yourself, so,
yeah,
I don't, like, there's no judgment because,
yeah,
I'm doing what I need to do and I don't, like, you know. And then, but there's also this sense of, like, communal living.
Yeah.
But it's, like, individual.
Yeah.
Living at,
yeah,
the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe in a good way. I think,
yeah,
that's,
I think
that's a nice,
nice.
Communal way of,
yeah,
being.
Of being responsible for yourself, but also like engaging in this communal, like close living, because there's so many people living so close together.
Yeah. But it does also something to me when someone is like, hello, how are you today? Are you fine? How's it going? Will you do something nice this week? Like,
come to Australia, people ask how you're going all the time.
Especially the warmer that it gets.
That's nice.
Yeah.
And if you buy a sandwich at a fish and chip shop or something, the woman behind the counter will probably call you love. There you go, love. It's real nice. Or if you come to visit my mum at the nursery,
yeah,
even if she doesn't know, she'll be like, you're all right, love. What do you need?
Yeah.
Yeah.
fun.
Yeah, you're right.
I enjoy that much more than I ever thought I would.
There's a tendency to ask how you are in Australia.
Yeah.
Like,
not care, just ask.
Yeah, well, yeah, it depends.
Just.
But there's, like,